A place of quiet rest, of comfort sweet, of full release, a place where all is joy and peace. I think that's why Habakkuk could say, even if there's no fruit on the vine, no fat lambs to kill, all is dry, yet I will rejoice in the Lord my God. So let's stand up and pray. Oh, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Thank you, O blessed Redeemer. How can our heart fully sing your praise? We hold up our dear Burkholder family, Jesse and Michelle, to you today as we begin this message. I pray you would comfort their hearts and fold your arms around them. I pray that you would give them a quiet rest, a comfort sweet, a full release, where all is joy and peace. Bless their children. Help them to know that you are a good shepherd and that you are worthy of our trust. In all of the adverse circumstances in life, we want to stand united, resting, committed to, trusting in that good shepherd that we heard about this morning. Thank you, Lord, for Psalms 23. There's no greater inspiration, literature, word that can be found on the face of the whole earth than what's wrapped up in those six small verses. You are the glorious end of all being. Dear Lord, I pray that you would take our lips today and only let come across them what's pleasing to you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have a two-part message this morning, and so I thought it would be fitting to fill you in a little bit, since I haven't been real social with everybody the last while. And if you were here the last time I shared, and I don't even know when that was, I don't recollect how long ago that was. Didn't really think about it that much. Had a bit of a emotional meltdown there as I was going back through. Do I have this a little too close? The some of the past seemed to come up before me and was really troubling me. I guess I just went through numerous valleys and not sure anymore what was up or down, and feeling like there was numerous things that I could have done differently in my past, and some of those things overwhelmed me, and I started considering, you know, some of the people that maybe I've hurt along the way, offended, and just trying to do what I could to make sure my life was clear going forward, and doing everything that I knew to do to be clear. So I made a number of connections from 15 and 20 years ago, and I started thinking quite a bit about some of my foundations and wondering if they were sound. And so I thought a lot about the issue of authority and how I come to understand authority and threw myself under authority according to how it was taught to me. And was considering, you know, doing a lot of pondering on that issue as time went along here. And so that kind of led me to where I'm trying to go here this morning. I kept thinking about the word authority and the root kept jumping out at me. The root, as I saw it, there in authority would be author. And so I'll read you a few verses here in Hebrews. First, Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." That word, author, I think that's the only time it's used in the Bible, which is in the Strong's, a chief leader, a captain, or a prince. The Thayer's has the chief leader, or one that takes the lead in anything and thus affords an example, or a pioneer. And then that kind of led me down the path of Hebrews 6:20, where it tells us that Christ was our forerunner, and that's one who comes in advance to a place where the rest are to follow. And the 1828 Webster says, one who produces, creates, or brings into being. Or the second one was the beginner, former, or first mover of anything. So it's not hard for us to see Christ there, is it? And that, yes, he is the king over all. He is the one who creates, has created, the one who has brought into being. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The beginner, or first mover of anything. Don't you just love that? And then in Hebrews 5:9, we have author, which is, in the Strong's, a causer. That which is the cause. So, you have the authority structure given in the scriptures, very clear. We have God the Father, we have Christ, then we have man, we have woman. You could put child under that. And then in all of society, you see that structure carried out in secular society. You have that structure in the church of authority, and there's different ways to understand it and apply it. And certainly it does work out differently in society than it does in the church. Jesus makes that very clear, that we don't rule as the Gentiles. We are as those who serve. So, just to help you understand where I'm coming from when I first learned of authority, it was as if I had been from another planet, it seems. And the concept, it doesn't seem like ever crossed my mind in my youthfulness and I had become rebellious in my youth. And then when I surrendered my life to Christ, still not having a very clear concept of authority, I just, I think in many ways, still pretty much just did my own thing. And so when this idea of authority and God's design and his laws that he has established on the earth concerning authority, when that hit me like a ton of bricks, I guess you could say, and I sat there and bawled my eyes out. And, you know, I think I grabbed onto it hook, line, and sinker and became out of balance in it and was so content being under authority that I don't think I took the I don't think I became an author myself. And hopefully I can paint a clearer picture of this for you. So sometime after that, Brother Denny was concerned about the direction that some of the youth were going, and he felt like they needed to have a clear understanding of authority. And we had a weekend where he gave a few messages of authority, and then at the on the last message, I think this was on a Saturday afternoon, he said, if you desire to be under authority, he had all the fathers go back to the back of the church and get in a big circle. He said, and as he explained authority there, and as, you know, for our protection, and he said, if you want to be under authority, and under God's blessing, you go back there and get inside that circle. Well, I was the first one inside that circle, and I think I even ran because of how of the change that God worked in my heart on the idea and the principle and the law of authority. So now fast forwarding 35 years and seeing where I'm at in life, it does seem like I missed some things as I went through life. And I guess that circle seems to have been what gave me the picture that I'll just put it up here on the board of how I am looking at authority here this morning, and hope to try and paint a picture of. And hopefully this is becoming a more balanced view in my life. But as I was considering how to picture this idea, I saw Christ as the head, as it says in Ephesians 6:22, Christ is over all. He's above all. And so inside of that, so we'll put this, we'll make this Christ. And what comes next? Man? Okay. Let's do another circle here. So let's put the church here. And let's put another one here and make that, let's do it like this. Let's make this one, let's put it up here. Let's make this one fathers. Then you could go here and put why mother and I suppose you can keep going, and you know, we could even put in somewhere in there probably our being under the authority of secular society. And I think you can probably create a few others in there. But inside of that realm, as Micah aptly showed us this morning from Psalms 23, that the glorious authority that we are surrounded by in our Heavenly Father, in Christ Jesus, it's a place of, as he brought out this morning from Psalms 23, you could say it's a place of freedom. It's a place of rest. It's a place of life. And to fully understand Psalms 23, you have to come away with a great fulfillment that Christ is all I need. And we get the picture then from this author that he is benevolent, he is kind, he is gracious, he is merciful. And yet he also is very concerned about us being on the straight and narrow and uses the rod in our life, and which is what makes the valley of the shadow of death important at times. But through it all, if we understand this authorship correctly, as I am meditating on it, there is a great, it brings a great rest and a great peace, and it's life to our soul. Too many times we think of it as being a place of I guess too often we have taken advantage of our position as the human race in human nature has too many times become a dictator and not a very good picture of this author that we were intended to be. But in the whole idea of being an author, there is a something for each one of us, regardless of where we find ourselves in that circle, that we can be a mover, a producer, one who produces, one who creates, who brings into being, one who goes in advance for the rest to follow. There, each one of us, if we can understand our position, there is a place of fulfillment and rest and but great liberty in fulfilling our place in our God-given structure. And so even though we certainly don't want to take Christ's position away from him, none of us have a desire to do that. We want him to have his rightful place. The Lord is King, it says here in song number 271 in our hymn book. Lift up your voice, O earth, and all ye heavens rejoice. From world to world the joy shall ring. The Lord omnipotent is King. The Lord is King. Who then shall dare resist his will, distrust his care, or murmur at his wise decrees, or doubt his royal promises? The Lord is King, child of the dust. The judge of all the earth is just. I read that wrong. The judge of all the earth is just, holy and true are all his ways. Let every creature speak his praise. One Lord, one empire, all secures. He reigns, and life and death are yours. Through earth and heaven, one song shall ring. The Lord omnipotent is King. So, even though we don't refute that one iota, one jot or one tittle, we don't take from his authority, his authorship, his creation, yet in the in his wise decrees, he has created each one of us to be an author. And I believe each one of us can learn to flow and operate in our sphere that he has given us, along with the Holy Spirit also guiding us, directing us, leading us. And I think I need to make a bit of an issue of the Holy Spirit, just because I think this is maybe some of where I was off course. If in John 15, verse 26 and 27, Jesus said, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." And then in chapter 16, verse 13 through 15, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." And Acts 1:8 says that after the Holy Spirit is come, you shall be witnesses together of me. You'll be my witnesses. And so in this whole matter of being under authority, I think I was largely missing out on this fulfilling what the role that God has given me. And being an authority and an author myself, and yet not taking anything away from the authorities that are over me, no more than I would take the authority from Christ, am I in being an authority, taking any authority from my church leader, and anyone who is over me. And the same with the wife, the mother, the child. I think God has given all of us a sphere to work in, to in which we rule, even if it's just to rule over our own spirit, rule over our own flesh, rule over our own passions. And that's certainly where we start. I think I was largely missing this aspect of it, and that again, Micah said it well when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's not just now in Christ, it's not just us going to the priest and letting him go to the Father into the Holy of Holies, but it's each one of us I thought of the verse there that he sends forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And that is that same possessive, personal, possessive pronoun, my Father. This is my personal Father. So each one of us, what I'm trying to say here, each one of us have a responsibility. We don't say because, oh, I'm under authority, just sit back, be lethargic, be just hide there in that place. I don't think any man, woman, or child is to ever be to a place where they don't have their own personal relationship. Now, yeah, I should restate that. Once a child comes to accountability and can seek Christ on his own and have his own personal relationship, and he himself can receive instruction and direction in his life from God through the Holy Spirit, he can have his own in Christ experience, and in that still not take anything away from the authorities that are over him. And I believe as any of one who is in authority, if we are seeing our servant leadership in the way that the New Testament gives it, I think it gives a great liberty for those who are under him to experience their own personal relationship with the Lord and become, in a sense, their own author and do their own leading by way of example. Every one of us are called to that. And I trust that I can make a little sense there to you all. I mean, this is just sort of me sharing my own personal testimony, just seeing a great lack in my life of leadership and just trying to get to the bottom of it somehow, or trying to get a handle on something, to be able to put my teeth into something. Brother Leonard has faithfully over the years been telling us men to be men, and yet somehow sometimes I walk away thinking, well, yeah, I know that, but there seems to be something that I'm missing, and I trust that I'm in a better place today. But I guess time will tell, and so that brings me to the second part of my message. Since we're memorizing here in 1 Thessalonians 5, and since my mind was so trying to unravel this what was the thing called last Sunday, Brother Jesse? The positive feedback loop. What I'm trying to make sense of is the positive feedback loop that it seems I've been on that has been going the wrong way. And it has been scary for me at times and fearful, and seems I've gone through many a valley with going the wrong way on that feedback loop. But if I can just the song said it so well this morning. It leaped off the page at me. On 234 says, "The wild winds hushed, the angry deep sank like a little child to sleep. The sullen billows ceased to leap at thy will." What a comforting picture to my many times troubled heart to be able to, by faith, look at Christ and see him as the author and finisher of my faith. And so hopefully you can get how easy it was for me to give this last part of the message, which I guess in a sense is the message. Verse 12 and 13 of 1 Thessalonians 5 says, the next two verses that we'll be memorizing, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." So I've been asking the Lord, how does that look? What does it look like to esteem our ordained brothers? Primarily, I was thinking, and which this is referring to here, how does it look to esteem them very highly, or to regard them very highly, or to count them very highly? I thought of the evangelist that came over there to North Africa, or Northern Ghana, when we were there in Tamale, when they brought him in there. I don't know if this was at his request or if it was just how much they honored him, but they put him up on one of those chairs and they carried him into town with on their shoulders. And he was lifted way above the people, and he was going to be their great miracle worker and promise them wealth and prosperity. And addressed very, wealthy, and just really put on a big show there. That was the picture that came into my mind when it says very highly in love. So before we go there, let's look at a few of these words in verse 12. It says to know them. And in the I was trying to stick strictly with the scriptures to explain itself because of how well truth balances truth. Here it says in the Strong's, to know, it's to see or be aware, consider or perceive. We're to be aware of them that labor among us, to see them. We're to consider them. And in 1 Corinthians 16:18, I'll read you a verse. I'll read verse 17. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Caicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Here is the word acknowledge them. And I think that goes well with this be aware. Don't let it escape your notice. Know them. Consider them. In Philippians 2, 25 through 30, I'll read you a few verses. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants or needs. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. There again, it's the same idea that this brother just about died taking care of me, making sure my needs were met. And he was so concerned about you all that it even made him sad that you knew that he became sick. He didn't want them to be worrying about him or have him, or he didn't want them to be concerned for him. But notice verse 30. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. In other words, it seems to me Paul is giving them an admonishment that he wore himself out because you guys weren't doing what you were supposed to be doing. And Paul's making sure these saints at Philippi understand, perceive, are aware of how much he sacrificed. He just about died. That's laboring. Now let's look at this word labor. Know them which labor among you. Strong says to feel fatigue, to work hard, and to be wearied. And in Thayer's it says to grow weary, tired, exhausted with toil, or to labor with wearisome effort. As it says there in Luke 5:5, when the disciples were out fishing all night long, it says they toiled. That's the same word as this word labor. Let me just read that. Luke 5, verse 5 says, Jesus had told Simon to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all night. That's that same word. We are worn out. We've been at this all night long. And we are shot, as we say it today. We are exhausted. They labored with wearisome effort. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Know them which labor among you. And if you say, well, I guess I didn't know that there was anybody growing weary or wearing themselves out, maybe it's, you know, we're telling on ourselves that we're just not being perceptive. We're not following through on knowing them. Okay, and are over you. And so this shows us the position that they have. This is talking about the ordained leadership among us. The ones that are over us, they practice or preside, or they stand before us in rank. And it says, it's the same word as the word overseer. And an overseer is a superintendent that is a Christian officer in general charge of a church. It is the Strong's definition. And in Thayer's it says, a man charged with the duty of seeing that things to be done by others are done rightly. I like that. He's not necessarily doing everything, but he's charged with the duty of seeing that things to be done by others are done rightly. And this is the same word as bishop. This is where we get the word bishop. So, those that hold a position of rank among us are over us. Let's just read a couple of the scriptures before we... What time is that? 11 o'clock, okay. My heart fell there for a bit. I thought it said 12. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So it just is giving us a picture here of the different positions in the church. And in 1 Corinthians 16:16, it says that you submit yourselves unto such and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. Again, we are talking of those who are over us. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Now that sounds a little bit like the same here that we have in Thessalonians, where it says to esteem them very highly. Okay, then Hebrews 13:7-17 says to remember them, obey them, submit to them. Then we have the word admonish. We're to know them that labor among us, that are over us, those that admonish us. And that admonish means to caution or reprove gently. Or as Acts 20:31, Paul says, that I ceased not to warn you day and night with tears. That's this word admonish. It's to warn. If you have someone in your life that gives you cautions, that gives you gentle reproofs, I hope you don't harden your heart to it. Count it of great value. Okay, now we're getting here to this verse 13. We're to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And to esteem, look at Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Count them better than yourself. And this is the same word as we have here in Thessalonians, to esteem them. So, I didn't come up with a very exhaustive list. But I would like to bring our attention to this again in 1 Thessalonians 5. To esteem them, count them very highly in love, for their work's sake, or because of their work, because of what they do, because of the many messages that they labor to give to us, the many times they sit down and counsel with us, the many times that they sacrifice being with their family or doing what they would have want, maybe leaving the job early, maybe having to give up spending their evening with the family. How are we going to esteem them very highly? Well, number one here I have to pray. And I think if we would just do that one, they would probably be well, feel well paid. I think the authorities that we have in our lives, and I guess this was the right time to give this, Leonard and Jesse are both not here this morning, it says to praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, the Apostle Paul, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So, now, the monkey is on your back, according to this, if our minister is disappointing us, if he got it wrong, if he made the wrong choice. According to this, it could well be my fault. So the next time before you chew up the preacher for lunch, consider who might be the real one at fault. Maybe if you had been on your knees, maybe if you had called a prayer meeting before the service, maybe it would have come out differently. I would hope that before you criticize the one who labors in your midst, the one who is in a position of authority over you, and that can go for much more than the preacher. You know, that's a whole... We can all find ourselves in there somewhere, in positions of authority. Maybe it's on the job. Don't be so quick to cast blame, to be dissatisfied, to murmur and complain. Make sure you're prayed up. How's that say? Watch with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. For I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. How much do you carry? Brother Leonard and Brother Jesse and the other ordained brothers, Brother Clinton and Brother Linford and Brother Kenny, who's on a sabbatical right now. Maybe he's on a sabbatical because we didn't fulfill our part. Maybe we didn't lift him up highly. Maybe we didn't regard him highly. That was one. I thought of how much it does to my heart to hear an encouraging word, a comforting word, a word of commendation. Sometimes that'll take me through 3 days. We could be lifting our ministry highly by giving them edifying words. We could be looking for ways to fulfill Proverbs, where it says that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Is that right? Wow, that is a valuable word. How many of those kind of words have you lately given to those that rule over you? A third one I have here is, here at Harmony, we have a very healthy practice. We have 4 offerings in the year that go to our ministry. And I'm not saying whether you've done poorly at lifting them highly when the Sunday morning, when that Sunday morning offering is given or not. I certainly have never heard the ministry complain, but I wonder if we couldn't value their work or put a little higher value on their labors by those Sunday morning offerings that are taken for them. And I know the mindset there sometimes can be, well, they have their own jobs. They're not going hungry. But that's beside the point. We're not doing it based on what their need is. We're doing it based on their labors. How many of you, when you go to work and have enough food for your wife and children, say, okay, I'll just work for the boss the rest of the day for free because I don't really need that money? I think all of us are very thankful for our paycheck, and we have the attitude of, we work for it. So yeah, we're going to take the whole paycheck home because I worked for it. I put in the time and I'm going to take it to the bank. Well, we're told that we're not to muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. I'm glad we don't have supported preachers that are fully supported financially, and I'm very happy for the way we do it. But we have these four offerings in the year that we can show how high we value those that labor among us. That's the only three I have. I wonder if you all wouldn't have some. Before I close, is there other ways? It seems to me there would be quite a few other ways that we could regard those that rule over us very highly in love for their work's sake. Can you think of any? What's something you all have done? Give me some more ideas. It seemed to me like I came up short, and I feel like in giving this, I'm selling them short. I think I should have about 12 points on here.
The rest of the verse says, "Be at peace among yourselves."
Okay. I think what you're saying is, we will regard our ministers highly if we're at peace among ourselves. Don't make them put out a lot of fires. Yeah, thank you. In other words, grow up. Become a man. It's time to be done with lesser things. Okay. Well, at least we added... Be at peace. Yes. Be mature. How did Paul say it? In Galatians, Galatians 4:11 says, "I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beg you, be as I am. Grow up," I think he's saying. Let's not just stay inside the door of salvation, but let's go on to perfection. That's a very interesting thought there. It says, let me just read these few verses. "You know how through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not," which I think he's referring to the thorn in the flesh that he prayed to have removed. And he's saying, you didn't reject me for that, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Wow, it sounds like they regarded him very highly. When's the last time you told your minister he reminds you of Jesus? Where is then the blessedness you spoke of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. So he's saying, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Yeah, I think that's a point well made there, Jeremiah. Be mature. Well, thank you for the opportunity, Brother Clinton. And I'm sorry for any disturbances of the peace that I've made, and I pray that I can lay hold on Christ and be an asset to the body, to the ministry here, and help be one who strengthens the hands that hang down by his grace divine.